Welcome. Matt Leininger is with us today. He's the Executive Director of the Deliberative Democracy Consortium and the author of a recent report, Using Online Tools to Engage and Be Engaged by the Public. It's published by the IBM Center for the Business of Government. The motivation behind the report? While many federal and state agencies are striving to engage citizens using online tools, many public managers are uncertain about which tactics and tools work best in different scenarios. Matt, thanks much for being with us today.
Great to be here. Thank you.
So you provide a lot of useful specifics in the report, including examples from cities in the U.S. and around the world. But I'd like to start with a broader question, which is, why, in your words, should public managers care about connecting and engaging citizens online?
Well, I think over the last 20 years, we've seen the sea shift in what citizens want out of government and what they can contribute to governance. And that's a big shift, and our institutions aren't really set up to accommodate it. But I think that shift is really why it's, I think, the core reason why we have such big challenges when it comes to governments running out of money, people increasingly mistrusting public employees, and vice versa. It's kind of a core reason for a lot of the challenges that we're facing. And furthermore, on the positive side of things, when you do actually engage people productively, when you give them an opportunity to feel like they have a say, they can talk to one another, overcome some of the divisions and differences in opinion, and they can come up with some, you know, important ideas that they want to see not only for government to do, but citizens themselves can do, that engagement in that way can be incredibly productive. It can rebuild some of the levels of trust in our society, and also help with some of the other kinds of problems that we're facing.
And one warning that you give is that just using the hottest online platform is not likely to be successful. You need to start with a goal or a purpose first.
Yeah, I mean, one of the common mistakes that you see when governments are trying to figure out how to engage citizens is they just look for a tool. And they kind of latch on to one interesting gadget or another. And while the gadgets may be interesting, it doesn't make up for the fact that you need a kind of an overarching plan. You need to figure out why you're trying to engage citizens, what are your goals, and kind of given that kind of broader framework that should inform both face-to-face and online engagement, what kinds of tools and methods might you need that would fit that plan?
Another of your points is that online communication is not a substitute for more traditional ways of engaging citizens.
Face-to-face and online communication are different. They have different strengths and weaknesses, and they complement each other really well. So one of the things you want to be doing in most kinds of situations is figuring out how are you going to weave those two forms of communication together. Then in terms of the online side, I mean, there are certain things that online tools are particularly good at that really play to the strengths of online communication that really, they fit with face-to-face communication well. One is, and these are the kinds of things that the guide kind of goes into in much more detail, but things like, crowdsourcing, things like being able to provide background information to people on a particular public issue, giving people a chance to kind of gather data and information and kind of add that to the kind of total of knowledge about a particular public issue. There are things like that that play particularly to the strengths of online engagement that work particularly well when they're kind of tied to other online tools and to face-to-face kinds of meetings. The key with public engagement, whether you're doing it online or face-to-face or whatever, is numbers. Numbers and diversity. If you have a very small set of people, particularly if it's a set of people from one side of the political spectrum or the other, they may come up with some interesting ideas when they talk to each other about public issues, but in general, it's not going to have a whole lot of sway with public officials or anybody else. If you have really large numbers of people, and if those people are diverse and they represent different viewpoints and different races and ethnicities and different kinds of age groups, that kind of diverse critical mass of people, when they get together, go through a decent process to talk about what they want, that tends to have much more sway, not only with public officials, but with other citizens. So the numbers are incredibly important when it comes to whether this work has impact or not.
So in terms of specific tools, I want to start with a term that our viewers may have heard before, but may not know exactly what it is, and that's crowdsourcing. Tell us what it is.
Crowdsourcing is the method by which you kind of challenge the community to come up with a bunch of ideas. Sometimes it's kind of wide open. They can just basically, you know, suggest anything they want that would be something that would improve the community. Sometimes you're asking them more specifically about a particular issue or a problem facing the community. But basically you're kind of putting out a call and online they are kind of submitting paragraphs or sometimes much larger proposals about what they think ought to be done. And then, you know, once you've kind of gathered a bunch of those ideas, you're then turning to the crowd again and saying, okay, which of these seems most promising? Which of them could be improved? And, you know, basically kind of opening them up for comments and for editing from a larger set of people.
One example you gave is from a city in Texas, Manor, Texas, which created a website that asked residents to make problem-solving suggestions and then vote for the ones they like best. And it also gave rewards, I noticed, including recognition, such as being an honorary mayor for the day for those who submitted the best ideas. So that's a useful example. Another online tool that you mentioned is using software to help citizens visualize geographic information, interactive maps, in other words. Tell us more about that.
So two main ways that happens now. One is in land use. So there's all kinds of online tools which allow people to see, you know, here's what it would look like if we put the grocery store here or widened this street or, you know, those kinds of questions. So that's certainly helpful in helping them figure out kind of what they want when it comes to land use. And the other kind of interesting way in which people can use online tools to visualize options is with budgets. And participatory budgeting, as you probably know, is becoming more and more popular. It's kind of swept through Latin America, and now it's come to the U.S. as well. And the idea there is you're giving people a real opportunity to weigh in on where they think public money ought to be spent. And so online tools can be really helpful there, and they've been used in Brazil and other places to give people a look at the budget and say, okay, if we took some money away from this priority and gave it to that priority, or cut the budget for this department in order to spend more over here, or raise taxes versus lowering revenue, you know, it gives them a chance to kind of see how those different kinds of actions actually affect the bottom line. And so you can kind of challenge them to come up with budgets that represent what they want to see, but also are balanced and realistic.
A third tool among the 10 that you discuss, and maybe the most surprising for those who haven't seen this before, is what you call serious games. In other words, online games that engage citizens. How would you describe the motivation behind them?
Well, just the idea of kind of making this kind of work more fun in a way that kind of that stimulates people's thinking and gets them to be more creative about some of the opportunities and challenges that their communities are facing. One of my favorite examples is one called Participatory Chinatown, which is based in the Chinatown neighborhood in Boston. And it basically allows people, it's kind of a role-playing type of a game where people are kind of confronted with a bunch of different kinds of land use kinds of questions and other kinds of issues facing the neighborhood. One of the neat things about that game, actually, and it goes to our kind of main theme here, is that it's a game that you can play by yourself online, but they also used it where they actually brought a whole bunch of people together in the same room with lots of computers, obviously, had people play the game in the same room, and then had them talk about it. You know, so it's still the combination of kind of the neat things you can do online with the stuff that you can really only do face-to-face that seems to be really exciting.
We have time to cover one more tool, and that is developing documents collaboratively, or as it's also called, wikis. And the wiki that we all know best, of course, is Wikipedia, the online encyclopedia created by volunteers. But you note that governments can use wikis to encourage citizens to take ownership of and address issues. Is that right?
Right. So it's kind of a way of giving a smaller set of people a much more intensive way to collaborate with public employees, with other stakeholders to create a policy or a plan on some particular kind of issue. It's not something you'd want to do that in collaboration with some broader appeal that kind of reached a larger number of people. But if you did that first, kind of some subset of those people would be quite kind of motivated to then be part of helping you create the document or plan that emerged from the process. And so a wiki is a great way to do that. The government of New Zealand, in fact, wrote a national law using a wiki. That's kind of at the extreme end of how you can do it. But basically, you know, the wikis, the whole concept of wikis are quite powerful, because what you can do is allow people to add their own language in a way that it's clear, you know, who wrote what, and it gives everyone else a chance to kind of weigh in on what the final document should look like.
Okay, the video portion of our interview will end here, but our online engagement of Matt will continue. I'm going to ask him to talk a bit about a related subject, which is the digital divide. In the meantime, I want to encourage all of our viewers to check out Matt's report, which I'll post online. It's about 40 pages long, but very clearly written, even if you're not especially technically savvy. Matt Leininger, thanks again for being with us.
Thanks so much. It was fun.